The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are back. We are back. Thank you for the pictures of the decoys, Clay. We got them, and we're looking forward to it. So I will be talking to some people this week about those and see what we can come up with. And there you go. How about that? There's a Tony Hine. Interesting. Let's see about that. Interesting. Well, we don't know who Mr. Hine is that carved these decoys, but we'll certainly pass that along to one of my buddies who happens to be in that business. So, we'll take care of that for you. Sorry, a little distracted, folks, looking at pictures. So here we are in the Outdoorsman Radio Show at second hour. My name is Alan Ellis, and my co-host Robin Ellis is missing everybody. Appreciates the thoughts and prayers, and I explained what happened the last hour. I'm not going to go over it again and again, but I will tell you this, that she is in contact with her doctor every week, getting blood work done twice a week here. A nurse comes in, takes her blood. We're keeping a very, very close eye on her blood work. I don't know if we've shared this before, if you've heard it before, but Robin has kidney disease, so she's got to be very careful with everything she does. And the issue was that her medication was overpowering her, and because of her weight loss, and she wound up in the hospital for 11 days about that. So we're getting straight. We're getting fixed up. She's a little frustrated about the slow progress of getting better and that type of thing. But we're, working through it. So we thank you for your thoughts and prayers on that. And she'll be back as soon as she possibly can. She told me to tell you she misses everybody. And she can't wait to get back on the air. So there we are. 410 WCBM 680 to get in a fish and tackle giveaway contest. All you got to do is call us here at WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, and leave your name and number with Aaron, our producer and call screener, and he will make sure that you get on the air with me because that's a requirement, and all you got to say is just want to get in a contest to win some fish and tackle. Beautiful snakehead package this time around, so those of you who are pursuing snakeheads, we just completed our work on big-ass fish. It came out Friday a week ago. We've got most of the deliveries done. There wasn't a tremendous amount of them to do. But if you're if you're in the Baltimore area, Clyde Sports Shop has them. Available online, too, BIGAZZFISH.com, BigAssFish.com. All about invasives, what to do with your catch, and what politicians are doing to alleviate the log jam in the system for getting them processed here in Maryland. Here's what has to happen. If you want to be a processor, you've got to have a federal inspector on hand when you're processing blue catfish. Federal Department of Commerce, from what I understand, talking to one of them the other day. I've been to two processors here in the last week. I've been to Tillman Island Seafood, where they do a lot of exclusively blue catfish. I wish I would have had taken the time to talk to the inspector, but I did not. He was kind of across the yard when I got there, walking the other way. But I did talk to Dick. And then BSA Seafood, which is on our back cover, to buy snakeheads and blue catfish. They're right there in Graysonville. Talked to Keith there, and they process a lot. They process a lot of fish. Holy moly. But he's looking to buy, you know, all you can get. He's probably the number one snakehead supplier in Maryland for sure. He's got a team of processors there that is unbelievable. But when they do the catfish, you know, they've got to have the federal guy there. And guess what? Even though he works for the federal government, guess who pays his salary? Yeah, not federal government, the processor. How about that? So that is a roadblock to just, you know, slicing and dicing the blue catfish here in Maryland, because you have to have that federal inspector on board. You got to pay his salary, and that deters you know, some of the smaller processors from doing it. They're not messing with them. So, and some of the bigger ones too. But as time goes on, I'm sure we'll see more blue catfish processors. Should the farm bill pass with the language in there to help mitigate that situation, sponsored by some of our representatives here in Maryland, delegates and senators and so forth. There's a quote from Andy Harris in Big Ass Fish. There's a long press release from Van Hollen and Ben Cardin with their pictures. They visited the plant down there in Tillman and vowed to make sure that their language to help the blue catfish processors is included in the farm bill. So, all right, let's see. Yes, somebody is asking me. Easton. There we go. So I'm looking to sell the Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine. It's no secret. We've been trying to sell it in print for about 2 years. And surely somewhere out there in our vast listening audience, somebody who's an enthusiastic person for the outdoors, that would love to have a nice income, part-time or full-time, from the sale of advertising and the production of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. We'll teach them everything. You get me for, you know, once you decide to acquire this asset, you get me for training for at least 2 issues, and I will teach you everything I know. Well, that takes about 10 minutes, but I will make sure that you're introduced to the advertisers, to have the contact information. There's an onboard designer that is anxious to stay with the magazine. There are writers who are willing to continue to write for the magazine. And, of course, we've got a long-standing number of advertisers that, you know, stick with us in every issue after issue. Or, you know, if they're somebody like a deer cutter or something like that, you know, deer processor, you know, they'll come in the fall. And, of course, the fall issue, fall-winter issues are the biggest. Spring's not bad. Summer, summer's hunting, you know. So we try to make everything more interesting. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. I would like to hear your phone calls. I'd like to get some people in this fishing lure contest, number one. And no excuse. It's raining. You're not going anywhere. You're listening to the radio. Just give us a call, 410-WCBM-680. Call in and get your name on the list. At the end of the month, we'll pull one name for the snakehead lure package. And, you know, you can keep it. You can pass it on. You can do whatever you want with it. If you win it, you don't want it, just call in here and get in it. You know, you can win. But if you want to give it to somebody else, feel free to do that. If you got a friend, a relative who's a snakehead fisherman, and you're listening and they're not, call in, get your name on the list. You may win. Then you can pass it on, make somebody happy, like our first caller, Clay, did. You know, he won a fishing tackle package. He passed that on to our buddy John B's grandson, and everybody's happy. So that's where we are. Let me see what's going on back here. I've got a dog back here on the wires. Hang on, folks. I hope she's not chewing. Get out of there. Jinx, that you are aptly named. I was telling Aaron, our producer, I fell asleep in the recliner, the one I'm doing the show from. I fell asleep in the recliner the other night, and I woke up, went to put the foot pad down, and my control was not working. No power. Well, little Jinxie had got in there and chewed the wires off the back of the recliner. So we're looking for somebody who can repair an electric recliner. We got work for him. Ah, anybody knows any good furniture repair people? Let me know. Here we are. Anyway, I was talking about the hunting quarterly. I was talking about that. And my trade. Oh, I don't want to talk about there's. It's not public. We didn't publish it. But it's coming up in the next Maryland Hunting Quarterly. The Department of Natural Resources wants snakeheads dead. Dead and gone. They feel that they're invasive. They're not sure after 20 years whether they've actually had an impact on our fish populations here in Maryland or not. The blue catfish, in my opinion, is a bigger threat. But there is a series of regulations that you can use, certain things to catch invasive species. And I call it projectile harvest of invasives. You can use a bow and arrow. You can use a spear. You can use a gig. You can use a scuba gear and spear fishing. A gig is a three-pronged pitchfork, basically, on a shaft. And you know, like gig and a frog. It's like a spear, only it's got three points on it. That's a gig, barbed gig, so they can't get off. And those things are projectiles or whatever. You can use, like I said, you can use a spear. There are specialty spears out there for these invasives that are sold, a lot of them in southern Maryland. I haven't seen a lot of them up this way. But one of our acquaintances, a young fella, has gotten into blowgun fishing for invasive species. And these darts that they use in a blowgun are about a foot long. And they've got a rod and reel attached, or they've got a reel with line attached to the blowgun and guides. Shoot the fish, reel it in, just like bow fishing. However, that's not legal. That's not legal because that is not specified in the snakehead law. Or the invasives law. In southern Maryland, it's popular to make a pitchfork, a steel pitchfork on a nice long aluminum handle for gigging. Go along in your boat. You see a snakehead, bam! You hit him with the gig. But they have five prongs, and every prong has a bow fishing tip on it. You know, a fish tip. A fish tip is simply a broadhead or a point. It has a bar, reversible barb. It goes in the fish, it holds the fish. When you take the fish off the hook, you push it through and you turn the barb backwards and the barb comes out easily. That's standard bow fishing fare. However, because they have five barbs, five prongs, not legal. You're allowed to gig, but you may only have three prongs on your gig. Something needs to be corrected. It really does. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. We got Larry there in Brooklyn Park. Morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Well, what's going on?
Hey, I got a quick question about crabbing.
Okay.
All right. If you're a commercial crabber.
Right.
Or anybody. I know you're allowed to have a 1,200-foot line.
Right.
Are you allowed to separate it and have two 600-footers?
Good question.
And can a crabber commercial guy... Because he's got unlimited, it depends what license he has.
Right.
Can he split his up and have six of them in a river?
It sounds like you have some experience with somebody.
Well, I work at a hospital that overlooks the water.
Right.
And I watch these guys out there every day.
Right.
They're setting up at 3 a.m.
Right.
But they're off the water by 2 like they're supposed to be.
Right.
But I was just wondering... In what increments they're allowed to set up their trout lines?
What measurements? You know what? I can't answer that question at this moment But I will be more than glad to check that out for you.
Thank you.
So, yep, here's all it says about trot lines for a licensed individual. Licenses are not needed if under the age of 16. But for a trot line, you are allowed up to 1,200 feet. And the amount of gear per boat, regardless of the number of licensees or individuals on board, so 1,200 feet of trot line. So I don't know if that means 2 600-footers. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. You must have floats of the same color, size, and shape on each end, and floats must be marked with your DNRID number. And that's just about it on the recreational stuff. But that is a great question. If recreational crabbers can divide their 1,200 feet of trot line into 2 600 feet on the same boat, I'm guessing, and you're asking if the commercial guy is allowed to run multiple trot lines off of one boat. As an example, 5 or 6 600-foot trot lines. Is that what you're asking? Did I figure that out? I will get in touch on next week with the proper folks at DNR, and I will certainly share that question and find out an answer for you by next week.
Thanks,
How's
sir.
That sound? No question.
Sounds good.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
410, yep, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Let me send myself a text. Let's see. Trot line limits. Lee in Towson. Good morning, Lee. How are you? Maybe you have the answer.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you?
I heard the snakehead subject is up. Had the opportunity to go with my son last weekend.
Right.
And we were fishing on the western shore, and Eddie was schooling me on spotting the fly balls, which is a key element of catching these things.
That's
when
right.
you get to see them. We didn't see a lot of them last year, and with his eagle eyes, you know, he's saying, "Dad,"
and his polarized glasses.
Yeah. He goes, 200 yards to your left at 1 o'clock, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just navigate, and you tell me where to go. And Alan, I couldn't believe the distance he could spot them, but we had a ball. And the good thing, he was giving me first cast.
Nice.
And, yeah, nice. But, you know,
yeah.
My first cast would usually be about 15 or 20 feet to the left or right of, and then all of a sudden I see his cast come hurling over top of him, and
right. They look reddish in the water, don't they?
Alan, it's a small pod,
right?
The top of the water stimulated by the way they're moving.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
they almost look like a little bull minnow or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're and sometimes you'll get a group of a couple pods of fry ball that join together. He saw one that was probably thousands of little baby snakeheads, and there was
right.
he can see that, you know, they're tailing. He'll
yeah.
see the tail and the head when they're coming up
gulping air,
and it was a hoot because
let me ask you, the fry ball is guarded by the adults, correct?
That's the element of
key to catching the big ones.
Yeah, that's an element of attack, because they're protecting their babies,
right?
Little baby fish, and especially if it's one that's fresh and hasn't been, already caught. They're
right.
They're fairly easy to get them to defend their babies, the fry
yeah.
on the top, and it's it's such an exciting method of catching them. You know, hook and line.
Yeah, sight fishing, that's for sure.
He was elevated a little bit. He would stand up on the front of my console,
Right.
And spot them, and we had a great time. Just it wasn't real windy, so you could spot them fairly easily. But we spotted about a dozen of them, and I'll tell you another thing, Alan. Out of the
dozen fry balls that you saw, given that there may be two fish on every fry ball, how many fish did you wind up catching that day?
Well, it wasn't the definitive word is not we, but he. I saw about six.
You get the first cast, Dad.
I've accepted it, that I'm there to navigate and net. That's my
That's your job.
My job.
I'm
okay with that.
Kathy and I went on vacation to Isla Mirada one time, and I looked up a guide down there that lived initially in Maryland and worked at a shop in Rockville. And I looked this guy up specifically because he was a guide, a backcountry guide or a low country, whatever you call it, but an Everglades guide, you know, in Florida. And I thought, okay, we're going to go out here and see what we catch, you know, maybe get us an eye on a tarpon or catch a something, whatever was out there, you know. And we go out, and he's got these medium lightweight rods, and he's got them hooked up with little jigs on them. And I'm like, what are they for? Oh, they're for baby tarpon. I said, oh, okay. Well, he was the most arrogant guy I have ever fished with in my life. He sat up on his tower, right, and pulled the boat, and looking for fish. And he never spotted anything. You know, he just like, okay, we're going to go over here where I think there's some baby tarpon. And I was able to jump a baby tarpon, but, baby tarpon's, 30 inches long. But anyway, I jumped it, but it jumped off. But he was so ignorant to Kathy. He'd say, all right, throw over there to your left. You know, and she'd make a cast, and she'd be off by 2 feet. He'd go, no, your other left. I wanted to punch the guy.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. Man, I was ready to dunk him at the end of the day.
Wow.
You know, and wow. then he says, one of the professional bass guys is coming down there, Charlie somebody. He says, yeah, we're just practicing today for when Charlie comes down next week. I'm like, wait a minute! I'm paying you full fare here, buddy, and you got me on a practice run. Yeah, that did not put a good taste in my mouth.
Well, yeah,
and that was the only day we had to fish the Everglades, so you know the flats.
I've been on one of those one time down at Tillman Island. The big captain we used to know down there, and he would have these old watermen that and God bless them, I mean these guys got hard working guys, but they weren't fishing guides, they were watermen that and we had this one captain that ma'am you got your reel upside down. yelling at my wife, and it's like, wow, dude. You know, we're out here trolling. And
take it easy.
Yeah. Oh, he was just a grumpy old fart. But, but hey, when you're fishing with your kids, all goes. And we needed some fish because, like I was going to say, the market has really turned around for snakeheads.
Yes.
I guess with the name change, I mean, we were asking $5 to $6 a pound last year. Well, my daughter now is selling them for $10 to $13 a pound. The market's there's a market now. People are realizing how good eating they are.
They're delicious. Absolutely.
And I'm speaking for the snakehead. I'm not sure with the blue catch yet, but what you're describing is getting big too.
Well, blue cats are big, there's no question, but for March it went from 20 cents a pound to 70 cents a pound, and then back down again, and, you know, it's all over the place depending on the quantity and of the fish that are coming in. I did see a waterman from Rock Hall area the other day unloading down at Cool Ice, and he had some nice rockfish. And of course, you guys are allowed to fish up to 36 inches, correct?
Yeah, 18 to 36.
The commercial, yeah. He had
correct.
He had a dozen of those in that slot. But what surprised me is what he had on the truck. He had black drum on there from the Chester River.
Oh, really? Well, I guess black. They're getting in the pound nets or whatever.
Yep, exactly.
That's right. They do get in the pound nets. Well, that's I don't know the market end or creel for a commercial black drum, but right. All I know is they taste good.
Yeah, they do. Know? I've eaten black drum. Yep. Very good.
It's an interesting taste. To me, it's between pork and fish.
Yep, it is. Maybe they need to rename the drum. Call it pork fish.
Yeah. Well, it's with the renaming of the snakehead and whatnot. You know, it's
you know what the original name proposed for that renaming deal was.
No,
very, 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 very highly thought of. How about this? Patuxent fish.
Patuxent?
Patuxent, like the Patuxent River.
No,
we're
going
to change the name of the snakehead to Patuxent fish.
Yeah, well,
I'll have me some. I'll have me
Chesapeake grouper.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you were ahead of your time, brother. But how cool would that have been to get the radio show involved and Big Ass Fish involved and, you know, all the media involved and, you know, get some sponsors and get a contest going on and, you know, make a big, big, big deal out of it across the state.
Oh, my golly.
How would been, man? How many thousands of people would have participated in a chance to win a prize or something like that? Nope.
Sure.
Nope. We're going right to the Annapolis with this, and it's Chesapeake Channa or nothing. And they passed it. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you could see it was going to happen. You didn't really know who was going to create this new name, but
right.
I guess it's working out. And Alan, what it boils down to is people are trying it, realizing how good it is. And, I got people calling me up. One that, you know,
sure.
No longer that I'm out, you know, giving it away to sample it. That
right.
People,
so I missed my chance.
You know,
huh? Okay.
There's a desire for it.
Yeah, no question.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I told you, I mentioned earlier, Robin and I had some snakehead bites the other day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
You know, you cut them in chunks and deep fry them.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So,
Alan, I got a question for you. I looked at your magazine with the crabs.
Yeah.
How many crab houses are in the state of Maryland? I'm looking at all your advertisers in there.
I'm guessing I got about a third of them in there.
How many of them?
I've got about a third of them in there.
A third.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Out of hundreds, it looks like, or whatever.
Oh, well, there's...
I had no idea any crab houses.
I know. It's a great magazine. I'm so glad I created it 13 years ago.
It's a great state, my friend.
What's that?
It's a great state we're in.
Oh, no question.
We got it all here, man.
You're not kidding. We do. Freshwater, saltwater. The bay, I mean, you know, we just got to take care of it.
Yeah.
And if you read the article about the trot line and crabs, that was Captain Dawn and his crew. And,
yes, I did.
And,
You
know, the spread of the snakehead that's out there. I mean, the spread of the blue catfish that's out there. A lot of scientific stuff in there, a lot of management stuff. But
that's one key element you touch on, and that not a lot of the rag mags do that.
That's true.
You know,
they
don't get into the nitty gritty.
Nope.
You know,
nope. We did have grilled soft crabs the other day.
Ooh.
On the flat top. On the flat top. Yeah, we sure did.
I haven't. I'll have to throw that one at the.
They were good.
The grill boy.
No question.
Yeah.
I tried them two different ways. I tried them. I took the cast iron pan out there. I cleaned the crabs and dusted a little flour on them with a little salt, pepper, and paprika and some flour in a bag and dusted them up. I didn't do the egg wash and all that stuff because I'm cooking them on the flat top. But I put two of them on the flat top and two of them on the in the pan. And it was hard to tell the difference. It really was. But I think the pan ones were a little bit better. Robin liked the pan fried ones a little bit better than the ones on the grill.
What did you use for seasoning and whatnot?
Salt, pepper, paprika, and flour.
Uh-huh.
That's it?
That's it, yeah.
I mean, you can put any seafood seasoning on them you want, but, you know, that's my style. My style is put them in a bag with some seafood seasoning and maybe a little flour and you know,
yeah,
and do that. That's my deal. Yeah. But Robin's the salt, pepper, paprika person, so.
Yeah.
Ooh, they were delicious anyway, so.
Huh, yeah.
They got nice and crispy.
Yeah, I got a guy trade rockfish for with soft crabs, and I always feel like I'm getting the better end of the deal.
Absolutely. My opinion, you are. So, all right. Yeah. Hey, Lee, I got to let you go. I got to talk about some of our sponsors. I didn't realize how late it was, my friend. But I appreciate the call. I'm glad you gave us the tips on the fry balls, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, you got to be with Eagle Eyes.
Eagle Eyes, that's right. Thanks, buddy.
See
you. Bye-bye. We are behind the time, so we're going to catch up a little bit. You ready to catch up, Aaron? Already. All right. So, Spurrier's Tire Service. They're located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Road. That's just off Route 50 in Easton. That's where the locals get their tires and auto service work done. I repeat it every week because that's what the script says. But that's also so true. It is true. That is where a lot of folks here in Easton and surrounding area get their tires and their auto service work done at Spurrier's Tire Service. American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires are in stock as well as all the other brands. Spurrier's Tire Service has the tires to fit your car, your truck, any make, any model, any size, up to and including tractor trailers and Mini Coopers and Triumphs and Volkswagens and everything else. But Spurrier's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard, your garden tractor, your lawnmower, your wheelbarrow, your farm tractor and all that farm machinery you see floating around the shore here on the roads this time of year. If you have a trailer of any kind, boat trailer, utility trailer, motorhome type of trailer, they've got all that, tires for all those. And ATVs and all that, oh man, ATVs, RTVs, six-wheel, four-wheel, doesn't matter, they've got the tires. Spurrier's has the tires. They offer tire repair on the spot. If you got to drive a nail in your tire, take it in there. They'll fix it. You may need a new tire, but they'll take care of it, or they'll repair it. Full-service automotive repair, too. They'll check, they'll diagnose, they'll repair your vehicle when the dreaded check engine light comes on. Their 24-hour truck service, as well as many, many other features, has kept Spurrier's customers, including Robin and me, satisfied for over 30 years. Good morning, Brent. Stop by. Say hi to Brent when you stop by. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires or call Spurrier's Tire Service in Easton at number 410-822-7384. Their website is spurrierstire.com, SPURRYSTIRE.com. No appointment needed for tires. Just give them a call, 410-822-7384 for Spurrier's Tire Service. Don't forget about Backyard Billy's, folks. Backyard Billy's has everything for your backyard, including that beautiful, colorful, weatherproof poly and outdoor and patio furniture, tables, chairs, and Adirondack chairs in every color and style. You can see all that from Route 50 at Exit 44 right there in Kent Island. You'll find swing sets and gym sets for the kids and storage sheds and chicken coops and greenhouses and dog kennels and pergolas and gazebos and all that stuff. Free delivery, for the big stuff, free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. Inside Backyard Billy's showroom, check out the barbecue grills, the pellet grills by Traeger in Memphis, and ceramic smoker grills by Kamado Joe and Big Green Egg. You'll see all that at the Hearth America division, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. And you walk behind the grills, and there are all the fireplace inserts, the freestanding wood pellet stoves, the gas fireplace inserts, great brands, Regency, Enviro, and others. Keep in mind, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBillies.com is the website. 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. They're open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. We'll be right back after these messages.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick, scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722. MadonnaSeafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your MilSpec liner installed.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog. And it backed a burglar down when Grandma took my safety off Granddaddy's gun.
Granddaddy's gun, yep. I remember my granddaddy's gun sitting in a little spare room down there in a gun rack. Man, there was a 1897, I think, brass receiver with octagon barrel. I can't even tell you what caliber that was. His old 300 Savage lever action was there. He had a Sweet 16. What's the name of that shotgun? Not a very popular gun, but it was back in the day. That was his squirrel gun and a couple others. Ah, wow. 410 WCBM 680. Let's see. Marvin in Hamilton. Good morning, Marvin. How are you?
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
See if I can give you a little tip there on your recliner chair, because I had the same problem happen to me.
Okay.
And, I bought a chair, and the lady had passed away, and the son was taking care of getting rid of everything, and he lost the cord. But most of them, they have like a battery power pack to them, you know, so just in case your power goes out,
okay,
you still use your cord. But did the dog chew the cord, or did he chew like your remote control?
I have no clue. I really don't. I knew what happened as soon as it happened. I went to the back of the chair, and she had gotten under the flap, you know, that hides all that stuff, and chewed those immediate wires right there. So I don't know what she
did. Well, if it's the electrical cord, they're usually just a plug. You can just pull that right out.
Right.
And you could probably go to, Lazy Boy or...
Well, we did replace this one. This one died Christmas a year ago, and... my brother-in-law did a little check on it and found out where we were getting power, where we weren't getting power. That's all we had to do. I think it was $30 to replace the cord. And
I had another chair and the plug fit that, so you know it was just so that's all I had to do. And then I took it up to Bainesville, and Bainesville Electric was there and replaced it there. But I just wanted to give you a heads up, and maybe you can check that and see if it's you can just replace the cord.
I'll check it out. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You do the same. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yep. There he goes. All right. Let's see. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Clay and I are texting. I know, Clay. That's when I moved to Maryland, 1983, 84, somewhere back in there. I've been publishing ever since. So, all right. Let's see. Who is this? Don't know who that is. Okay. Anyway, 410 WCBM 680. If you'd like to get in a contest to win a package of snakehead tackle from High Tide Lures and Tackle Box Tim Sherman, just give us a call here. Leave your name and number with our producer and go on the air with me and just say, oh, my goodness. Okay. Sparky just texted me. So, yep, that's her tone. Doot, 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 doot. It's less obnoxious than the last one. All right. I was talking to some folks from Ducks Unlimited. They are not pleased with the fact that DNR has suspended, after 50 years, it's duck stamp competition. You know, it'll just be a line item on your license. There won't be any real stamp that they mail you. There won't be anyone you can buy from the dealer or anything like that. And, you know, according to DNR, all the artists were on board with it. They talked to them at the Waterfowl Festival last year here in Easton. But after 50 years, we have no more printed duck stamp program here in Maryland. Just so you know, no duck stamp competition. Now, I was fortunate enough to be asked to be a judge one year for the duck stamp competition and the bear stamp at the same time. No indication whether the bear stamp is going to be, you know, that you never had to purchase a stamp, but it was always fun collectible to have. Somewhere I have a collection of the first few bear stamps here in Maryland I was able to come up with. And when I moved, that collection got also moved somewhere, but they're here around. But anyway, the duck stamp has been competition, and actual printing of the duck stamp, that program has been disbanded by the Department of Natural Resources. I talked about it a little while ago. Well, I don't just want to know what your thoughts are on it. Tell you what else I wanted to talk about, but we're out of time. I wanted to talk about the increase in the fee for non-resident sika deer hunters here in Maryland. Went from $25 to $200, and I've been talking to people in Dorchester County about it. I've been talking to people around the state about it, and I can't find anybody that's happy with that. But we'll start that controversy. Remind me next week, Aaron, make a note. Sika deer stamp. Got it. Let's talk to Mike in Eldersburg. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you, Alan?
Good.
Good day.
What's up?
Are you solo today? No Robin?
Yeah, we've been solo for a little while. She's not doing that well health-wise, but she's getting better, which is great.
So. Oh, that's good. I'm sad to hear she's not doing well.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up with the show on a regular basis.
I can tell. Yeah, she spent 11 days in the hospital around Memorial Day, and she's recovering at home. But she's in a good...
I'm glad she's recovered, buddy.
Yep. Yeah. She's in a better frame of mind. So,
that's good. I'm sure you are, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm headed to work today. I ain't going to get to go fishing this weekend.
Right.
But you got to make the money to buy the tackle, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. So what's on your mind?
Not a lot. I just flipped the show on. I was on my way to work, and I go, I got a couple minutes. Maybe I'll call and chat for a little while.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. I'll see you up at the flea market again this year at
probably
Moncton Road, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yep, probably will. So sounds good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good turnout last year.
Uh-huh. Yes, it was.
So. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, so have you been fishing at all?
Oh yeah, I went to Loch Raven with a buddy of mine the other week. We caught nine, but most of them were around 3 pounds. They were pretty nice ones.
Yeah, largemouth.
Yeah, all largemouth, not a single smallmouth. And then we went to Liberty one. We went to Liberty one day, and it was about the same thing. The grass bass and Liberty down the lower end now are mostly around 2.5 pounds.
Yeah. Well, at least
As a matter of fact, I fished a tournament there last weekend, and there wasn't a 4-pounder caught, but there were so many between 2 3/4 and 3 3/4, it was unbelievable, because I was weighing them. I was handling every fish, and it was shocking me that they were all like the exact size. Really crazy.
Yep. But it must have hit a school.
Yeah. Well, everybody got them, so wherever they went, it's just, I don't know, man. It's that most of the fish in that grass now in that lake are pretty good size.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Makes for a fun day of fishing if you can get out there.
Yep. Gotcha. Yep. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yep.
You have a great day.
You too, Alan.
All right, buddy.
Robin does well. All right, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. There you go. Well, maybe I'll bring it up this week and let you chew on it till next week. So the General Assembly, in their wisdom, with the influence of some folks here from in Dorchester County, increased the sika deer stamp for non-residents from $25 to $200. An 800% jump in 1 year. So in talking to a few people around the state, some tackle shop dealers and, gun shop dealers and people like that, I asked them if that would impact their business. And they said, well, look, we get a lot of non-residents in here because, there's places to go, in sika deer country, in Dorchester, Wicomico counties mostly, and further out than that. And I said, well, what do you think of that? Well, none of them were that much in favor of it. Because, it's going to reduce traffic to their foot traffic to their stores. And it's going to, to me personally, it's going to reduce foot traffic into the restaurants and nights in hotels and things like that. And all the things that non-resident hunters do when they come here to spend their money for out-of-state hunting. Now, the rationale behind it was, well, you know, if you go out west, you pay a big trophy fee for an elk or for a moose or for mule deer or whatever else. So we're comparing Maryland to those western states with those big game species. Okay. So two things came out. One was that one person believed that the non-residents would then shoot their sika deer and check them in as whitetails. In other words, they're going to bypass paying the $200. They're still going to hunt sika deer. They're going to check them in as whitetails. Now, if they get checked, they're going to be in trouble, obviously, by not having a stamp. But that's, you know, that's one scenario. The other scenario is that the non-residents are going to get their money's worth. If they pay their $200, instead of waiting for that one stag, they're not only going to take that one stag, they're going to take their three hinds in every season. So they could effectively, you know, increase the harvest on sika deer because they've increased the fee. The non-residents are going to say, well, if I'm allowed to take three, I'm going to kill three. You know, in a $25 scenario as opposed to a $200 scenario, you might consider that that's a privilege and you're going to wait for that stag. You're going to wait for that 4-point, 6-point. Now, a lot of outfitters won't allow you to shoot anything less than that. And a lot of farmers, a lot of guys that have private property are managing their deer herd. But on public land, I don't want to be there on the first day of firearm season. I really don't. You know, I really don't. Because they're shooting as many as they can now, even the locals. But I can't imagine being there in the first day of firearm season on some of those public lands. It's going to be chaos. Now, I hunt on a property that is bordered by public land. A deer walks off of the private property, it gets shot on public property because those guys are standing, sitting, whatever, right there off the property because they know what they're sitting on. Now, that's locals. I can't imagine the non-residents. But we'll put that out there next week if I remember. And if I don't, you tell me. There's our music. So, folks, it's time for me to say get out, stay safe. That's what we say. But we also say, and Robin has softened me a little bit. She talks about family all the time. So make sure you stay in touch with your family. You know, call your mom. Give your kids a hug. Love the Lord. See you next week.